Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Welcome into Redacted, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Natalie Morris.
And I'm Clayton Morris.
This is the show where we talk about the things the mainstream media largely ignores. Now, we're going to talk about the MAGA civil war that's happening right now because people who went out on a limb to support the Trump administration are furious that they have not been honored their wishes for small government, balanced budget, government efficiency, anti-war, all of those things. We're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Trump's big pivot on all of that, trying to sort of save face and try to save the MAGA movement right now. Can he do it? We'll talk about that. Plus, they're killing cows now over methane. I don't know if you've heard about this additive that's being added to the cow's food supply in some European countries. Well, guess what? The farmers, under this mandatory rule, they had 80 days of using this in their cows to reduce methane. Guess what happened? Cows started dying. Cows are just falling over dead. Cows are getting massive fevers because this is what the globalists want. Now this is going to be spreading to other European countries, and just you wait until it starts coming to the United States. Oh, We're going to talk about that.
Already, we talked about it last week. Bill Gates is getting it to our cows. He's an investor. He's already said that. So yeah get ready. We're also going to talk about Germany because, gosh, if there is one not free place on the planet, it's Germany. These AfD candidates dying as they start to gain popularity in the polls. We're going to speak to a guest who has asked for asylum because the German government is so terrifying right now.
We're also going to talk about James Fox is going to be joining us because a number of UFO whistleblowers who've actually worked on the reverse engineering of UFO craft, alien technology for the government, like this is part of the U.S. government. They are asking now, President Trump, please remove our NDAs and we will come forward. And if you want to be the most transparent presidency ever, remove our NDAs and let us tell the world what we've been working on for the U.S. government, alien craft. Inside the United States government. So James Fox is going to be joining us. And we just got some horrible news a few minutes ago. The Canadian Supreme Court has rejected the appeal of the Universal Ostrich Farm. That means the terrorist organization of Canada's Food Inspection Agency is moving in now to start the killing of all of these ostriches in Canada under this authoritarian regime there. So we're going to have all of that for you on today's show. A lot of craziness to get to today. So first, before we get to all of that news, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Black Forest Supplements, because now if you add this to your cup of coffee in the morning, you could be 27% harder to kill. Yes, Black Forest high flavanol cocoa powder. And here's what's insane about it. A new study is out. 21,000 people just showed that this cocoa powder might reduce a heart attack by 27%. Cocoa flavanols keeps your arteries flexible. Regular chocolate, 90% of the flavanols just get destroyed during the process. So that's not what this is. It's like the difference between putting water in your gas tank and high octane. Harvard ran this study about all of this. They're called the Cosmos Trials, the biggest study of cocoa ever. I've been putting this in the coffee. It's fantastic. It's literally the first thing you can put in your body, and it'll just give you that high-octane fuel to kickstart your day. It's different than your regular cup of coffee. And right now, if you want to stock up, you can get buy one, get one free right now for 48 hours only. If you go to blackforestsupplements.com/redacted, just scan that QR code and grab it right there. blackforestsupplements.com/redacted, and you can grab that right now. Buy one, get one free for 48 hours only is the best place to go and grab that.
Well, after Republicans lost all their races, all of the main ones, on this week on Tuesday, President Trump then came out on Wednesday with, I guess what we'd call is like a victory lap or a bait and switch. I don't know what we would call that. It reads as an attempt to downplay Republican losses in this week's election and reclaim control of the MAGA movement. Now, independent voices, people who voted for Trump and may not have otherwise or had never voted Republican before, independents, they're pissed. They're screaming that the MAGA movement, They don't care about the branding. They don't care about the party. They care about the things they wanted. Representative Thomas Massey put it this way. If you want to win in elections, you have to quit covering for pedophiles, put America first, put farmers before corporations, quit funding wars abroad, reduce spending to control inflation, quit attacking independent voices. Yes, I mean, my list can continue, but that's kind of the highlight. Yeah, sure. The Trump administration, though, is not likely to do any of those things. That much is clear from the first few seconds of this video. I'm not going to show it all to you. You can see it yourself. But who makes their appearance in the very first few seconds of this "we're doing great" video? We're going to keep going. Is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Maybe that explains why many are saying that Trump's approval rating is down 50% in young people under 30, between 18 and 29-year-old voters, since the start of this year. It's starting to feel like the pro-Israel lobby no longer has a free ride inside the Republican Party, if this week's elections are to be believed. But if President Trump can't break with this group, which it does not seem like they will, full stop. I have no confidence, zero, that they are not going to let Israel, make Israel stop dictating our war. So let's see. Then he will lose leadership of the MAGA movement, or MAGA will just be some kind of shriveled, old, sad sack in the floor, right? What's going to happen? Joining us to discuss is Matt Kim. He is of the Freethinker Army. If you haven't checked out his YouTube channel or X account, you're missing out. I really appreciate your enthusiasm on this. You're mad as hell, too. What do you think of this, like, faux manifesto from Trump? And what is it that we want?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people are starting to notice a lot of what's going on in the world, especially close to home. We're noticing that the price of goods has not gone down. And they say, well, the gas is down. Well, electricity's up. So we have to take that with a grain of salt. I saw Trump tweet today, or Truth today, that Walmart is 25% lower and they're going back down to the Biden administration price, or below Biden administration price, for Thanksgiving dinner. And then he got communicated and it said, well, actually, it used to be 21 items in the Thanksgiving dinner. And now it's only 15 items in the Thanksgiving dinner. And it used to be brand name items that came with it. And now it's great value items in it. So shrinkflation is a thing. People are feeling it at home. Anytime you go to a restaurant, you go to a bar, you go to your favorite local establishment, there's not as many people as there once were. And for them to put out these videos and say, this is the golden era, this is a golden time for everyone. And we're looking around going,
for who?
I don't think that's true, actually.
Yeah.
For who?
Well, I mean, Mike Adams, the other, like yesterday, Mike Adams, friend of the show, Mike Adams, health ranger, he said, what, like, what sort of gaslighting is happening right now where he's telling us one thing, but everyone's like looking around going, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, we were furious about this under the Biden administration, and we are consistent. So I feel like this is at least giving us credence as, like, we were pissed about this when Biden said it. You can't say it, too. We're still pissed. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are really fed up with the Israel lobby. They're fed up with this Israel first mindset. I think most people agree with that. People are fed up with the fact that these wars have not stopped. If anything, we seem to be starting new wars. But the reality is that people would put up with this, actually be even a little bit understanding of it, or be less radicalized if the economy was good. And don't tell me that the economy is good just because the stock market is good, because the stock market does not seem stable. It's all bubbled around this idea of AI, and the AI companies aren't even making money. They're just printing money. Their Fed's printing more money. And something is not right here. At least if the economy was good and people had money in their pockets, people would be more tolerating. I think that's maybe the better word. People would tolerate the bravado of the administration a little bit more. But when you don't do that, then you get things like New York City with Mamdani. It's not the young people's fault that they are going towards these very extreme socialist ideas. They're going there because they're looking around going, well, we're screwed. The government is not working for us. The economy is not working for us. And this guy's at least saying something different. He's offering change. They don't know. They're like, we just want change. And that's why they voted for Trump, because Trump promised change. And as soon as he got into office, he hasn't done anything for the younger people. And this is a huge problem, because you mentioned the amount of support that he has amongst the youngest generation is extremely low right now, all-time low. And people will discredit and say, oh, it's just because the youth is brainwashed. No, you're just mad that you're not the one doing the brainwashing on them. You don't actually care that they're brainwashed. You're just mad that you're not the one brainwashing them.
And all these kids know, like, they're going into college, coming out of college, and they're like, what the hell are we going to do? How are we going to ever buy a house? We can't even afford rent, so we're just going to live with our parents because everything is just so darn expensive. Now, you could say that that's not Trump's fault. I mean, he's literally been in office now for, what, 9 months? 9 months. So to bring down massive inflation, to bring massive amounts of manufacturing back to the United States, try to create a job boom in the United States, it's not something that happens overnight. However, when most of our money in the United States is going to foreign countries, and we're not prioritizing things in our own neighborhoods, that is a huge problem and a huge concern to young people when they see billions of dollars going to Ukraine. Why are we still sending weapons and Tomahawks? And we're sending a drone team to Ukraine next week. Like, Trump is sending a drone team to go there and bring more drones to Ukraine. Israel. I mean, it's infuriating to young people who are like, hey, I have to live in my parents' basement because I can't get an apartment.
I think the messaging for the college-age students, it's really confusing right now because we have an entire population of people telling them that actually college doesn't matter, that you don't have to worry about college, that you're wasting your time, that you should go do other things. Don't waste your time in college. And then the same people are telling them, but we want to go back to a meritocracy, that meritocracy matters. But then the reality is that meritocracy doesn't matter because relationships matter and who you know is more important to how you're able to achieve success in life than what you've achieved in the past. And that's the reality. But for the people who don't have access to certain networks of people, they actually need college because otherwise they would never stand out to get those relationships. So if you're a college student, you're going, what am I supposed to do? They keep on telling me one thing, but they tell me the other thing, and they tell me to work hard, but they tell me meritocracy, but then tell me that school doesn't matter. And then they're like, oh, we'll promise you, we'll figure it out for you. We're going to make things change. And then they're standing around going, all right, this guy promised real change. He's offering something that I don't know if it's true or not. I don't even know if it can happen. Actually, we don't care anymore because we're sick of this. And we need to take a moment and step back and go, well, instead of blaming them for being brainwashed, we need to take a step back and be like, well, why are they feeling this way? Because the youngest generation are the innovators. They're the ones that will actually dictate how the world works in the future. And they're the ones that are controlling this AI that we're pushing. We actually need them to be on our side. We actually need them to understand why we think the way we do, because they're the ones that are going to be making these algorithms that we plug ourselves into. And if we keep on alienating them every time they don't agree with us, this could be a huge problem.
Right. And so I feel the heartbreak on behalf of fellow independents like myself who were happy to vote against the Democrats in the 2024 election. But now I do have friends saying, well, you know, are you happy now that Trump won and you voted against the Democrats? And this is embarrassing. And I will say, I didn't think that Trump would end the war in Gaza, but I did think he would make more progress in Ukraine. So no, I'm not. I didn't think he would gaslight us about Epstein.
I thought we would see Epstein files, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think he would.
Well, there are no files, so apparently.
Right, right. Apparently he was only sex trafficking to himself.
Right.
So,
yeah. And so, yeah, this is embarrassing. Yeah. This is egg on our face. So how do we answer this question? How would you respond to something like this?
Oh, this is a question that I struggle with a lot. If you're going to have, what we're finding out is that leadership within the United States and the government, it is a problem. The way they operate is a problem. The cronyism that doesn't seem to go away, the deep state establishment that doesn't seem to go away, that this is a very big problem in the country. Trump is at least a competent person. Is he gaslighting us? Yes. When some people argue that he's doing things that are in favor of maybe his new technology friends or pharmacy friends, sure, but he's competent. Kamala may not have the same deep relationships with some of these people, but she's not as competent. She is, I don't think competence and Kamala go in the same sentence together. So do you want a competent but yet evil leader, or do you want an incompetent evil leader? And this is actually a really big problem, because on one side, you have someone that wants maybe dystopian rules for society and want to roll out a surveillance state, which it feels like we're going into, that's competent at doing it. Or do you want someone that still wants to do it but doesn't know how to do it properly? Because that may make a bigger mess. I think the result is that we are going to kind of this surveillance state kind of country that is more similar to the China model. I believe that that's where we're heading. Then who do you want to usher us there if that is inevitable? And that's actually kind of scary.
Nobody. Can I choose C? I want nobody.
What about the pivot? You know, so we heard from White House insiders have now been saying, according to Trump's chief of staff, that there's one of two ways Trump could have gone on this, which is to say this is just an anomaly, just kind of ignore what happened and to look the other way, or actually take it to heart and make a big pivot. And it seems like he is taking it to heart and he is making a big pivot, which is to focus, according to his chief of staff, is to focus specifically now on costs here at home, that you're going to hear a lot more of this. And so today, President Trump out with this big drug announcement. It's one of the top trending topics all over Google this afternoon. These weight loss drugs and all of this stuff and making drugs cheaper here in the United States. We know how expensive drugs are. So you're going to start to hear a lot more of Trump talking about domestic issues, not maybe talking so much about Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't know, but we're going to hear more of this. Do you think that pivot is going to work?
Well, I think the drug issue doesn't really benefit the younger generation because right. They're not thinking, oh, I need to buy my Ozempic cheaper.
Right.
This is really an older problem. So it doesn't solve the issue that we have. And yeah. I think a lot of people that thought they were very MAHA and health focused, let's make America healthy again, they're looking at this, at these pharmaceutical companies hanging out in the White House and the Oval Office, and they're making all these deals together and they're shaking hands and they're very happy. And RFK is standing there and he seems like he doesn't want to be there, but yet he's there and he's like, oh, this is better for everyone. And we're going, oh. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if making some of these very dangerous drugs that they are promoting more accessible to people, I don't think that's a good thing. You know, if they really cared about the health of Americans, they would focus on how do we make real food cheaper for Americans, not the overly processed foods cheaper, but real foods. And that means we have to support the farmers, we have to support the farming industry. We need to, if we're going to subsidize anything, why don't we subsidize organic food? I mean, that it seems the most logical thing to do, because if people are eating clean, people are getting less sick, but they don't want to do that because there's not a lot of profit in that. But there is a lot of profit in working with the big pharmaceutical companies. And I really thought that this administration would be like, okay, people are really mad at big pharma. Let's take a step from that. Let's take a step back from that, because this seems to be an issue that people won't let go. But the fact that they are parading them around in the Oval Office, it just shows that leadership is not listening to the people at all, and the people have no voice in how the government actually runs. And I think this is the biggest problem.
Now, there was something... Here's what gives me a little bit of solace in that question that I asked you, is people saying, are you happy you voted for Trump now? Is this what you voted for? Absolutely not. But at the same time, I also voted for Biden. Biden disappointed me greatly, and the Democrats refused to talk about how Biden started a war. Biden crashed the economy. All of these things that happened, we're basically still living an extension of the Biden era. At least Republicans are willing to say, oh, no, I'm not loyal to you. I'm loyal to these demands and what you stood for. So Republicans will break in a way that Democrats won't. This could be a unifying moment if Democrats would get their heads out of their asses and see it. Is there any way for us to do that, to show them that we have more in common than not?
Well, I think that most Republicans are on the same page. They want the same things. They want a better economy. They want America first. They want to figure out the immigration problem. They want to do it, but most people actually want to do it in a humane way. And when you see these videos going around, people are going, I don't really feel comfortable with that. They see the wars going on. I don't really feel comfortable with that. It's hard because humans are human at the end of the day. And I do believe that humans are inherently good. So when you see things that seem a little violating to other people, even if you agree or not, it's going to make people pause at the going to election and to voting. So I think we need to figure that out. How do we control that? I think there are a lot of things that the Trump administration has to do to move back to what he had promised. I believe that if Trump had stayed the course with his campaign promises, then we wouldn't be as divided as we are. Again, people would be more accepting of maybe a little bit of side missions. The problem is that this administration decided to start with his side missions first. And I say this, politics is a game of favors. And in the hierarchy of favors, the people that supported him financially, that helped him get into office, those are the people that are getting their favors paid back first. And the people that voted for him, we are so far down on the totem pole of hierarchy of favors that this is becoming a problem. So the administration has to start listening to what the people actually want. That's what he was good at in 2020. That's what he was good at in the first term. And it seems like in this second term, he's so determined to leave a certain legacy, and he has his vision of what he wants himself to be perceived as, is that he's forgetting the people that he's supposed to represent. And I think that's the biggest problem. I would say that's all presidents, you know. I don't want to say it's only Trump. But yeah, we had very high expectations for Trump, which is why people came out in record numbers for him. And for him to turn his back on that so quickly, I think that's why people are so disappointed.
Yeah, I'm furious. So thank you for your energy in this. I'm really enjoying your videos on YouTube. I'm enjoying your X account. It was really great to have you on. Please come back.
Thank you.
All right. You know what? I'm disappointed to see this in the chat room. So I have said many times, they're saying, wait, Natalie voted for Biden. This makes sense. I have said many times that I was a liberal. It was the Biden administration that broke my allegiance to the Democrats. You were here for it. And I broke my allegiance to the person I voted for. I am willing again to say this is not what I voted for. This is independent thinking. The fact that that might hit a paradigm that you don't understand means that our chat room is still in binary thinking, and I don't understand that. So if you want to talk to me about, you know, my votes and what you think that represents, I think I've shown myself to be an independent thinker many times, and I don't care about the Democrats. I don't care about Republicans. I don't care about those power centers. I care about something that I have always cared about, which is anti-war, small g government. I was duped by the Democrats to think that they embraced those things. I think I'm being duped again by the Republicans. So don't come at me, bro, for that kind of stuff. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Someone in the chat says Matt hit the nail on the head.
He was awesome.
Sherry says, quit interrupting. Najian says, stop making excuses, Natalie.
I'm not making excuses.
Girl, just ignore the trolls. Uniparty running all the parties right now. Sorry if you hear a dog running around like crazy in here. Something that Colonel Towner Watkins has been saying, something that Shipwreck has been saying on social media is, yeah, we're all being played by this uniparty.
Yeah.
And this happens every election cycle where they give us like this little bit of red meat. They give us a little bit of like cultural war stuff, whether it's abortion on the left or whether it's immigration on the right. And everyone gets fired up about it. And then, of course, this happens. This happens once again because the uniparty is in lockstep, of course. And then you have people like on the side like Thomas Massie.
But at the same time, I've been thinking about this a lot. I was thinking about this morning. Why might I have thought in 2024 that Trump would have ended the war in Gaza? He never said he would. He never said he would on the campaign. Why would I have thought that he might have ended the war in Ukraine? Well, he lied about the war in Ukraine. He continued to say Putin wouldn't have done this, ignoring the facts of the matter that Putin did not personally vote for the special military operation, that Ukraine had been bombing those people for a decade. So I said on my X account, he's not telling the truth about this during the debates. Why did I think that he would drain the swamp? He didn't do that in the first administration. We gave him a pass. Maybe there were deep state powers that prevented that. But expecting Trump to be miraculous would have been stupid in 2024. What I was voting against was the Democrats. And I think we said that on election night. Like, look, my expectations are not high. I'm just thrilled that it's not Kamala. That's how, and I feel that way still.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Natalie. I think everybody deserves a road to redemption. You know, like you, like I was in the same place you were in 2010, you know, and it's just it's a journey. And it's like you get more information and you move. It's like if you're judging somebody because of their past, like you should be happy that, you know, there's progress.
Oh, excuse me for not being as enlightened as the rest of you. But again, I think the question stands, why did we expect this much out of Trump? I did. You know, I thought maybe this time around. And we saw these sort of like gangster moments where he's like, this time the deep state is not going to have their say. We thought that, right? And so, okay. You know, we don't have, there's just so many things that I thought, like, show me that you mean it. Assange, Snowden, Epstein, all of these things. And instead we get nothing but Israel. So I'm sorry if I've disappointed you that I'm a little too late in this awakening. I feel like we've been independent and fair for a good consistent 3 years now. Mm-hmm. But if you don't think that.
Who's saying that? I'm sorry, I missed something. I stepped out for a second.
Well, my question was, like, look, you know, Democrats who voted for Biden refused to admit when he was letting us down, which he did. He started a war. He continued to fund a war. He crashed the economy. He put vaccine mandates in place. All of these things that I could see, this guy let me down. And I was willing to say it in a way that most Democrats weren't. And then I got kicked out, right, of my sort of San Francisco liberal life that I had left behind. Mm. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. That should give me a little bit of a pass. And Republicans are willing to say, this is not what we wanted. We did not break for you for this. This, you know, in a way, Democrats were not. And the chat room came at me for saying, what? You supported Biden?
But anyway, all right, let's move on. We got a lot of news to get to here on this Thursday. Coming up, we are going to talk about they're killing the cows over methane. Last week on the show, we talked about, of course, Bill Gates wants to do this in the United States. He's suing a couple of states now because he wants to have control. He's specifically suing the state of Texas over this. But in Europe, it's already happening. It's already rolled out. And now these cows with this methane additive added to their food, they're just falling over dead. So these globalists who want you to stop eating meat, this is all part of their plan. They would love nothing more for these farmers to give up their farmlands and, of course, open up new apartment complexes and all of those things. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Shopify, because we actually run our Redacted store on Shopify. That's what you see right there. If you go on over to redactedstore.com, you'll see all the things that we are able to offer you because of Shopify. Now, when you see that purple checkout button says buy with Shop Pay, then you know that the site you're on is run by Shopify. And why do so many retailers choose it? Because it's easy. It's easy to implement. It's easy to use. It's easy to take your idea to implementation. They will help you with graphic design, with back end. They will handle e-commerce. Everything that you don't really want to learn, they can do for you, plus round-the-clock support. You can sign up for a one-month trial period today by going to shopify.com/redacted. And they, again, have everything that you need to know to grow your business, and they manage many retailers, again, around the web. You'll notice now that I've told you this. So again, shopify.com/redacted. You'll get a one-month trial period, and you'll be so glad that you did. Again, take your idea to $1 million with Shopify, shopify.com/redacted.
How can they get you to stop eating meat? Well, they will kill the cows, and that's exactly what they're doing. This is a really disturbing story. Pay attention to how they're doing this. You can't make this up. Denmark just made it illegal to raise cattle without giving them drugs. Farmers are being forced by law to feed their cows a government-approved chemical that supposedly stops them from farting too much to stop producing methane. The chemical is called Bovaer, a methane-blocking enzyme inhibitor made by a global biotech giant called DSM Firmenich, which they say it'll save the planet. They say on their website that it's safe for humans and cows, but in Denmark, where the use of Bovaer just became mandatory, farmers there are reporting that their cows are getting sick and then just dropping dead. Of course, that's the point. These globalists who support the drug don't want these cows, and they certainly don't want you eating meat. Under this new green tripartite agreement, Danish farmers have to feed their cows Bovaer for 80 days every year, whether they like it or not. And if they don't comply, well, they're breaking the law. You will go to prison. Farmers are furious, but they have no choice, of course. Other EU countries are planning to follow in Denmark's footsteps. Now, once this chemical is added, many cows won't even touch their feed. They don't eat, and then they're dying. A Danish dairy farmer, Hubert van Dorp, explains his personal experiences with the Bovaer feed additive. He says it has affected the health of his cows, causing symptoms such as high fevers, mastitis, fatigue, and even the death of his cows. Watch.
som I ser fra starten af oktober, og på dags dato, så har jeg bare trukket mig tilbage og holdt med at fodre. Jeg kan sige, at vi havde noget dyr, de blev syge. Jeg står for eksempel lige her, en ko, hun var i midt i laktation, som står med mere som 40 grader i feber, 41,5 grader feber i sidste uge. Jeg havde tre i de tilfælde. Så vi var hurtigt med at reagere og behandle med noget penicillin, så vi...
So, they're literally killing cows to save the planet, but the bureaucrats don't care because it's all about controlling farmers. But more importantly, they're ignoring the truth and the real science. Cow farts are destroying the planet. Methane from livestock makes up less than 5% of the global greenhouse gas emissions. And as we reported here on the show before, compost piles, rice paddies, landfills, wetlands, they release far more methane than cattle ever could. Cows have been burping and farting for thousands of years, long before SUVs or private jets. The Earth was fine and it will still be fine. Last week on the show, Natalie explained how here in the U.S., Bill Gates wants to vaccinate cows and lower the methane output. He's backing a company called Arcabio. Gates says that livestock is the problem. He's also backing a U.S. company called Ruminate, which provides these additives to food. So it's coming to the United States. We need to stop it right now. Here on Redacted, we interviewed Casey Atkinson. She's a Wyoming rancher who said you can't just focus on methane. You have to look at the whole ecosystem and realize what you're doing is just, you know, you're going to be destroying the entire ecosystem.
You can't take just a single aspect of cattle production, which are the methane emissions, and pull that out without understanding the implications to a full ecosystem or understanding the whole role that cattle play in that ecosystem and maintaining rangelands and mitigating drought and reducing wildfire danger, along with, most importantly, providing an incredibly important food source for people across the world.
So you're destroying these ecosystems. Casey also said that this whole idea that methane is a problem is just ridiculous. Nature
the
takes care of itself.
The methane that cattle are releasing when they're digesting that cellulose that's in those plants is what's causing the methane to occur. They're belching it out into the atmosphere. It's this whole cycle. It's this constant recycling of essentially the same product. Methane will break down in 9 to 12 years in the atmosphere, where the plants can then have access to it again. And so the methane emissions that cattle or any ruminant animals are getting, it's not anything new, right? Mm-hmm. It has existed as long as plants and animals have existed.
So this goes back, I mean, for how many years, hundreds of years that we've had to deal with this? So why is it suddenly a crisis? Because they found a new way to guilt you out of eating meat. This is about power, not pollution. If they can convince you that cows are evil, then they can control your food. And who profits? The same corporate elites pushing fake meat, lab-grown protein, and cricket powder. They're not saving the earth. They're building a monopoly on what you eat. They make the chemicals that kill the cows. And they sell you the synthetic steak that replaces it, of course. The irony is most of these plant-based and lab-grown meat factories create more waste and methane than actual cattle ranches. The difference is those emissions don't threaten the political narrative. The climate priests don't care about the facts at all. They care about obedience and control. Notice almost every story we cover on Redacted is about control. These globalists who want to control your life. And this is their plan. Let me break it down for you. It's just like a simple few-step process. Number one, make real meat unsustainable. Make it a problem. If they have to get in the way, they make it a problem. Step two, overregulate farmers until they quit and they sell their farms. Step three, feed you patented lab sludge. Fake meat in the name of saving the planet, like this. Lab-grown meat is now on our store shelves. Florida has already banned it. Texas banned it. They use human cancerous tumors to make this meat. Bill Gates is behind one of these companies and is now suing the state of Texas over banning of this fake meat. And Alex Jones just posted a thing about being pissed about this. Watch.
You are about to see total proof that the U.S. government has created a long-term program and a plan to replace all forms of real meat, salmon, tilapia, beef, chicken, turkey, duck, pork, with human cancer cells from a black woman that's mass-produced. So you're not just eating dead people, you're eating a dead black woman who had the most aggressive, fast-growing cancer ever recorded. Now, Texas and 10 other states have just banned it. Bill Gates has sued, as of yesterday, the state of Texas with his two companies to force Texans to eat lab-grown fake meat cultured with immortal cell lines from Henrietta Lacks and others. Did you hear what I just told you?
So lab-grown meat, Florida has already banned it. Texas banned it. They use human cancerous tumors to make this meat. Bill Gates is behind, of course, one of the companies and is now suing the state of Texas over banning this fake meat. So this is the new war on meat. They don't want cleaner cows. They want fewer farms. They want fewer cows. They want fewer people to eat real food. It's absolutely disgusting. How many of you, by the way, I mean, how many of you have seen this like fake meat on store shelves? How many of you actually seen this? When you guys go to the store, do you guys see this fake meat anywhere? I guess you have to look closely to see if this stuff is lab grown at this point.
Well, and some of the, I remember it being on the menu at some of the big chains like Burger King and stuff, and now it's not there anymore. Like, nobody wants it. Like, it should be obvious. Right. Nobody wants this stuff.
It's just sitting there. I mean, if people can read the labels on it, like, they can figure this out. It's disgusting. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. We're going to talk about Germany's AfD candidates dying and why one journalist wants asylum in the United States because the tyrannical Germany government is coming after her for telling the truth. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, I don't know if you've seen, of course, the lowering of interest rates once again. And if you saw the results of election night the other night, you know that there are some big problems in this country right now, and people were voting with their wallets, largely. They're tired of being told that costs are too high for things, that rent is too high, the U.S. dollar is declining. And so we've got a lot of problems on our hands in the United States, and the Fed has just admitted as much, that we have a U.S. dollar that is declining. Consumers are not being able to spend as much, so the value of the U.S. dollar is declining. So what do you do? Like, what if your U.S. dollar doesn't go as far as it should? Well, that's where investing in precious metals can come in. Because, yes, it's great that gold has skyrocketed. Yes, it's great that silver has gone up. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about preserving your U.S. dollars, converting them to precious metals so they don't lose value against inflation and whatever the Fed or President Trump wants to do in Washington, D.C., whatever Democrats want to do, it doesn't matter. By having your money in something that has been around for 5,000 years, you can protect your family. So even if you've got a few thousand dollars in savings, I have people reach out to me all the time, friends who are like, I've got to get my money out of U.S. dollars. What do I do? I always tell them, our friends at Lear Capital, that's what we do. We buy gold and silver through our friends at Lear Capital. They're an American company. They want you to just get on the phone with them. Get on the phone and have a phone call with them. Talk it through. There's no pressure at all. And by the way, if you make a gold purchase and you're not happy with it, like 24 hours later, you can call them back and be like, hey, I decided I don't want to do this. I want U.S. dollars again. No problem. So no pressure at all. But the best thing is just to give them a call and see what you can do. Because if you've got an old like 401k that's just sitting there, I had lunch with a friend the other day. He has like two old 401ks just sitting there. And he's like, they're not doing anything. I said, well, have you considered, precious metals? Have you considered maybe going into a precious metals IRA? Where it allows you to invest in stocks, it allows you to invest, anything you want. You can do that right inside, right, and Lear will help you do that. So call them today. Just get on the phone, 1-800-613-3557 to get your free gold and silver guide. Or go to LearRedacted.com and you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. These guys are fantastic. Give them a call. They will walk you through the entire process. Again, no pressure at all. Just have a great conversation with them. So our thanks to Lear for supporting the show. And guys, just preserving your wealth at this point. Like I always say, it's great that gold has gone up twice in value, since we started investing. That's wonderful. But again, it's just about making sure that you have a hedge against inflation. And so if you've got, like I said, a few hundred dollars or a few thousand, whatever it is, you got a savings account that you're sitting on and you want to protect it That's what I have done personally. So anyway, but you do you. All right. Why are so many German AfD party members winding up dead? Well, we covered this story months ago after about six or so AfD right-leaning conservative party members died unexpectedly. It seemed odd. Well, since we covered that story, we've had another five conservatives who are basically in the opposition against the government establishment. 11 of them. Like, who is, someone's got to be killing these people, right? Because it doesn't add up at all. Dr. John Campbell says it's statistically impossible for this to be happening. Watch.
Of course, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And none of us know specifically when we'll die, but we can work it out based on populations and demographics and age profiles and predisposing conditions, how likely death is. And using those criteria, it's very unlikely that these deaths would have occurred in Germany, essentially spontaneously. These 11 deaths that occurred in Germany were all in opposition party candidates, seven of whom were AfD, Alternative for Deutschland. So if you haven't got time to watch this video, the bottom line is that this is mathematically very improbable, and yet it has happened.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. These AfD party members are a threat to the socialist government of Germany, who want to close their borders and end these ridiculous green energy policies. And they want Germany to stop supporting Nazis in Ukraine. They want Germany first, and that's why they're a threat. Someone else who the government thinks is a threat is Naomi Seibt. She's a journalist from Germany who's now seeking asylum from President Trump in the United States, because Germany is coming after her for telling the truth. Naomi, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Hi, great to see you too. Thank you so much for having me on again.
First, yeah, I want to hear, you know, I want to get to your story and why you're seeking this asylum. But first, on this AfD question, it seems like the German government is saying nothing to see here. We've investigated this. Nothing odd at all for 11 people to just drop dead who happen to be in the opposition. Do you agree with the German government's assessment of this?
I will say they like to call me the right-wing conspiracy theorist, but even I doubted this claim that they were killed for a very long time, because I thought to myself, okay, let's wait a minute, let's at least investigate. But then they didn't want to investigate. And then more and more AfD members died. At first they told us, but these people, the ones that were killed or died specifically, they were older than 60, even though I would argue I know a lot of people who get much older than 60. Some of them, or at least one of them, had cancer. But then you also have to consider, if they actually did intend to kill that many AfD members, they would have to make sure that they have some sort of alibi. It would be very suspicious if all of these AfD members were like 30 years old. So it does make sense to me. And now at this point, as you just mentioned, it's statistically extremely unlikely. And they have a reason to kill these AfD members, because the AfD is now the most popular party in Germany. And we all know that in the next election, the only way that the establishment can still stop the AfD from being in the government is by forming a massive coalition that goes against the AfD, even if the AfD gets to something like 40% of the vote. But then there would be something like a civil war. I'm quite sure of that, because imagine 40% of the voters being entirely ignored. And that's why the only thing that they have left to do now is to try to stop the AfD members from running. For example, some candidates are banned, canceled altogether, or they just let them die somehow, miraculously.
It's remarkable. And where does this opposition stand now? Now that many of these party members have mysteriously died, what kind of stranglehold on power do they have? And what sort of power does the opposition have to try to overthrow this government?
It's looking pretty scary, but at the same time, we are becoming more and more resilient. I'm not an AfD member myself, but I strongly support the AfD, and it's very important for me to operate on the outside so I can be something like a bridge between the people and the AfD party, and also a bridge between Germany and America, which is why I have applied for asylum. And I have so much respect for the work that the AfD does. And it's it's very remarkable as well that Alice Weidel was one of the people who made a post on X, which she doesn't make a post about everything. She's not tweeting 24/7. She made a post when the first seven AfD members died. And she didn't say anything specific about it, but she just pointed at it. She just said seven AfD members dead. That was a very suspicious post because I thought she would not have done this if she didn't want to draw our attention to this matter. And Alice Weidel oversees everything very closely, and she's very cautious with her words and how she handles herself in public, because she is the most persecuted woman in Germany, for sure. The Antifa members, not even just Antifa, even members of the youth wing of the left party, they put out a post and a sticker even that they spread around Germany, where they had Alice Weidel's face with a target on her face. This was just after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And then just 2 days ago, I think, another AfD member, his car was torched by Antifa members, who then posted their confession letter. And in the confession letter, they say, "You damn MAGA freaks, you are all going to follow Kirk to hell." Those were their words. That's very chilling, not just for AfD members, but also for the voters. I am very convinced that a lot of people who are not openly supporting the AfD yet will do so in the next election, but they cannot talk about it because they're genuinely scared.
Journalism is under attack. You are now under attack, and you're asking, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, what specifically are you asking for? Because you've been telling the truth, but I know from other journalists, not just you, who live in Germany, who've told me flat out, if they've been covering a certain stories, they'll receive government, I mean, letters from the government threatening them, coming after them, going after them, where they want to leave and get out of Germany because it's so bad. What is happening to you?
There have been many instances with other people like myself who have been spreading the truth. But what makes me and my work unique is that I was the very first and probably only German influencer, political journalist, commentator who speaks in English to the international audience, and specifically to the MAGA supporters as well. And Germany is scared of the impact that the MAGA movement has had. That's why they isolated Germans for such a long time. In Germany, we have the tax-funded state media, and we just get this very communist type of media. The German news are horrible to watch because it's so boring. You cannot compare it to something like, I don't know, the redacted show, but also the more mainstream, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. They are more flashy and entertaining. In Germany, it's just very cold, and you're not going to have people thinking for themselves because they just get this one straight source of news, and everything that's being said about America on our news channel is negative. Our number one U.S. correspondent for the state media, Elmar Thewissen, he sits in Washington, D.C. in Georgetown, and he lied about Charlie Kirk. He compared Steve Miller, who's a Jew, to the Nazis. And when Trump was just elected into his presidency, he said that this is very reminiscent of the Third Reich. So it's very clear what kind of image is being portrayed among Germans about America. And so Antifa, I believe, is uniting right now between America and Germany, because this movement originated in Germany. They are essentially even stronger in Germany. And now they want to come for everyone who doesn't just support AfD members, but also the MAGA movement. That's why they said in their letter, in Germany, "We're coming for all you freaky or damn MAGA freaks, and you're following Charlie Kirk to hell." So in my case, to elaborate on that a bit, I am under threat from Antifa as well. Antifa want to kill me. They have sent me death threats via letter. They have called me at my home phone number because it's a legal requirement. I had a YouTube channel for years, and it's a legal requirement that I put my address on my public YouTube page, so everybody knew where I was living. And my mom's law firm is at our home, so her number and everything was public too, and we didn't have any security or anything. So we got death threats to our phone number. We had Antifa, just as a joke or maybe a warning, a threat, send a funeral service to my home, and they were looking for an alleged Thomas Zeit, who doesn't exist, but it was probably a threat that they're coming for me next. So that was brutal. That was very chilling. I had a little sister who was terrified because she was alone with me during that time. I went to the police with these claims, and they found out who was behind it. And they said, as long as you haven't actually been raped or killed, there's nothing we can do about it. But now at this point, I'm not even the most scared of Antifa anymore, because Antifa, they have been brainwashed. They look at me and they see a monster because they have been trained to perceive us that way. The people that I'm actually scared of, that's the German government, that's German intelligence, who are actively putting me under surveillance. They have put the entire AfD under surveillance, and then I filed a request to German intelligence with my attorney. And the response that we got was that they have basically collected evidence about me since at the very least 2019, and my name is in there at least 1,000 times. I also found out that my phone calls had been intercepted because I was involved by association in a witch hunt against one of my friends who was put in jail for 1 year because of a parody YouTube channel where he was just posting stuff like, oh, he was burning bacon on the Quran. That was something that he got multiple months for. So he was in jail for 1 year, and he ran away just before he was put in jail because he just had his firstborn son. And he wanted to be there for the baby. He knew they were going to find him, but he wanted to be there for the baby. And then eventually they found him. But the way how they discovered him at all was because they intercepted his friend's phone calls. And I was implicated in this entire operation. This went on for at the very least 3 months last year. And we got evidence from the federal police that these phone call interceptions took place, and also that as soon as they have somebody implicated on the phone, they can then continue to intercept their phone calls too, which means it's very likely that they continued this operation behind the scenes from German intelligence, not just the federal police. It's horrible.
Horrible. What has the have you gotten anywhere with the Trump administration trying to protect you and provide that asylum?
Yes, for sure. I was extremely fortunate because I did not want to ask anyone for help. I didn't want to go begging at the US government or even Elon Musk and ask anyone for help, because I thought, I have a legitimate case. I want to do this the normal way and I want to be taken seriously. Then Anna Paulina Luna, she saw that I was posting about it, and she invited me to her office the day after my announcement. And I was extremely lucky because she asked me to bring all my evidence. She said, this will help you. I explained everything to her. It was maybe 2 hours, the entire meeting. So we had a lot to talk about. I had so much evidence. She took everything. She took it very seriously. She said, we're going to help you with fast tracking your process, and then maybe they're going to be able to help me somehow. I know that I have an extremely strong support movement now in America. I'm truly blessed, I have to say, with my entire way, the entire path that I took over the past year, because there were many moments where I was just terrified, because I knew, of course, I can't stay in the United States forever. It's not just me trying to stay in the United States, because I could have applied for a journalism visa or something else. But it was important for me to get protection from the US government, because my goal is to not stop anytime soon. I want to keep posting on X. I want to keep making videos. I want to keep spreading the truth. And I'm working with an alternative media outlet in Germany, Deutschlandkurier, very proudly. And they are being persecuted by the government as well. And I want to be the bridge between Germany and America to actually deliver truthful news to Americans and to Germans. And I can only do that with protection from the First Amendment.
Well, our thoughts are with you. We sure hope that the Trump administration comes through on this and is able to protect you now more than ever. Independent journalists need protection from these tyrannical governments. At least in the United States, we have free speech, even though it's under assault. And at least here we have freedom of the press, even though it's under assault on a regular basis. But boy, I know from these journalists in Germany who have been going through some things, and the fact that you're here and being under surveillance by them and you have the proof of it is deeply disturbing. Naomi, thank you so much for your courage. And, you know, please let us know if there's anything we can do here as well. And please keep us updated on this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Naomi. Terrifying. I mean, again, hearing from these journalists, you know, I hear it from people all the time, like expats are like, yeah, we want to go to Europe. If you're a journalist, I mean, you see what happens to these journalists who get, like, they land at the, you know, UK airports, they land in wherever, and they're held for 8 hours because of a tweet that they made. We've had journalists who've received letters from the government, like threatening to sue them, to come after them and prosecute them for their reporting on whether it's the Ukraine war or otherwise. It's unbelievable. And we're seeing some of that in the United States for people's tweets. Like, why is the police showing up people's houses for tweets, for crying out loud? Deeply disturbing. All right. Coming up on the show, major UFO disclosure. Could it be imminent? We're going to speak with James Fox. He has a massive new documentary coming out that I'm very excited about, called Moment of Contact, New Revelations of Alien Encounters. And boy, wait till you hear about some of the interviews that he's done with government whistleblowers who've worked on this reverse engineering of craft, UFO craft. They're asking President Trump, get rid of my NDA. Like, I signed an NDA working for the United States military or whatever. Mr. Trump, get rid of my non-disclosure agreement, and I will tell everyone what projects I've been working on, what these alien craft look like, how exactly they operate. I will tell you everything. It's up to you, Mr. Trump. Most transparent presidency in history, right? Let's do it. Let's do it. We're going to speak with James next here on the show. I'm very excited to hear about some of these new revelations that he's uncovered. But first, all right, folks, Medicare annual enrollment period is here. This is the time to choose your 2026 plan. Here's the deal. Even if you're happy with your current plan, it's critical to review 2026 options. Because plans change every year. Many just go away entirely. This leaves millions of seniors stuck overpaying or, you know, undercovered. And most Medicare agents care more about their commissions than your coverage. That's why you need to know about Chapter. They're the only Medicare advisors who compare every plan nationwide to find the ones that truly fits your needs. And their advisors get paid and the same amount, regardless of which plan they recommend to you. It doesn't matter. It's completely free, by the way. This is the best part. We've had so many of our viewers go through this process and they send us emails thanking us. Don't thank us. Thank Chapter, because it's free. It's totally free. Takes about 20 minutes. And on average, they've helped people save $1,100 a year. So if you're already on the 2026 plan that works best for you, they're going to tell you straight to your face, hey, this works best for you. There's nothing you need to do. If not, then they'll help you switch quickly and easily to a new plan. Could save you thousands. So don't let the system take advantage of you. Call 202-655-5811 and speak with one of our Medicare partners, our trusted Medicare partner, or just go to askchapter.org/redacted. You'll be glad you did. It's free and it could save you thousands. Well, are we about to see major UFO disclosure coming from the U.S. government? UFO researcher and documentarian James Fox has just spoken to a number of key witnesses who've seen and done remarkable things, not only with UFOs themselves, yes, alien craft and the reverse engineering of these craft, but also alien bodies, and they're ready to come forward and break their non-disclosure agreements and tell the world if Trump would simply sign their NDAs. Here's Eric Davis. Watch this.
Where's the proof? We have alien spaceships in our possession. Mm-hmm. We have bodies. Where and why can't I get the specifics to verify those claims?
If the President of the United States issued an executive order that absolves me of all of my TSSCI NDAs, NDAs are non-disclosure agreements. Those are the agreements we have to sign for every compartment in our SCI clearances. So if the president waives or absolves my obligation to those NDAs, and I get subpoenaed by Congress, somebody on Capitol Hill, some committee, either in the Senate or the House or the both, to reveal everything I know that I learned from my investigations, both unclassified and classified, into the legacy UAP, crash retrieval, and hardware reverse engineering and NHI programs, I would do so.
I would do so. James Fox joins us now. His latest project is called Moment of Contact, New Revelations of Alien Encounters. I think what James is doing is groundbreaking and across many of his documentaries. And I'm thrilled that he's become part of our show here. And I love having James on. So James, welcome back to the show. Great to see you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I love your work, man. And I got to tell you, I got goosebumps when I saw that clip from your new movie, Moment of Contact, because here you have somebody saying, now the ball's not in my court anymore, right? Like, I've worked on these projects. I'm calling on President Trump to absolve me of these ridiculous NDAs, which I think are horrible to begin with. And let's tell everyone what I've been working on. And I think I got chills.
Now imagine an event in the near, not so distant future, where you have 10 more of him making a plea to President Trump, and then you have firsthand witnesses to crash retrievals. Think about that scenario.
And is that about to happen? So, I mean, maybe you're letting the cat out of the bag a little bit. 10 more, just like Eric Davis, that could be.
There's big plans. This is not just another documentary coming out. This is a movement behind the documentary. And I think Age of Disclosure, Dan Farah, is going to really kick the doors open because it's got a much more mainstream appeal. But, you know, one of the things that we did with this new version of Moment of Contact, it's got an entirely brand new 20-minute opening, which I really felt like people's frustration with the congressional hearings. You've got, you know, in 2023, you've got this high-level intelligence officer, David Grush, and he's making these extraordinary claims of aliens in captivity, alien spacecraft, and not really necessarily, certainly openly, providing the details needed to verify those claims. Obviously, there's a lot more going on in the skiff behind the scenes. I talked to Congressman Burleson recently about going into a skiff with Grush. I said, "How was it?" He goes, "Pretty eye-opening."
Yeah.
So, you know, and now we have, for the first time in history, this has never happened before. I mean, I've made a lot of documentaries. We've got a neurosurgeon, not anonymous, revealing his identity publicly. He still works at the hospital, and he's claiming face-to-face contact with a live alien and communication for 4 minutes at regional hospital. And he's still the head neurosurgeon there today.
So he hasn't been fired. We have a clip of that, I believe. This is part of your documentary. Here's the neurosurgeon, and it's subtitles. So, I'll just read the screen here. But here is that Brazilian doctor. Listen.
Meu nome é Ítalo Venturelli, estudei em São Paulo, fiz neurologia, neurocirurgia, fiz mais de 5 mil cirurgias. Só queria deixar essa mensagem que eu realmente vi. No dia fui ver um a um, como se eu tivesse ido ver um paciente, e não era um paciente, realmente era um alien, claramente um alien. Era. O crânio era em forma de gota, os olhos em forma de gota. Eu fui ver um paciente, achando que era um humano. E eu vi ali um ser maravilhoso de um mundo que eu não conheço. Me pergunto se estava sofrendo, ele não estava sofrendo. Se ele estava entendendo, ele estava entendendo. Muito calmo, muito tranquilo, olhou para mim como se entendesse tudo o que eu estava pensando. Eu acho bacana conversar isso, explicar para as pessoas que existem muito mais coisas do que a gente imagina. Para mim foi muito importante ver, porque eu vi a imensidão que tem esse universo, né? Não somos só nós aqui, nesse mundo tão maravilhoso, mas deve existir muitos outros, e aquele ser que estava ali é prova disso.
Your reaction when you were learning that from him?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, so we went back to Brazil a number of times since the film came out, because this is an ongoing investigation for me. I've been at it 16 years. My partner, Marco Leal, has been at it 22 years. The more we dig, the more we uncover. And we met with two forensic pathologists, Dr. Armando, who did the autopsy on the deceased military officer, who got a scratch under his arm from the creature. It wasn't anything malicious. He just grabbed it, and he got a little scratch, and he died a couple weeks later. That bacteria had got into his bloodstream and killed him. He was 23 years old. And then the forensic pathologist who actually founded the company, IPD, that performed the tissue samples, studied the tissue samples from the deceased military officer, Dr. Giannini, just came forward for the first time on camera to participate in the film, saying in all the years they've been doing what they're doing, they've never seen a bacteria perform like this. It was an advanced bacteria, an evolved bacteria, never seen anything like it before, never seen anything like it since. They gave us a full detailed autopsy report with comments below, which we're in the process of having transcribed, and we'll be making those available to the public as well. And they're coming forward. We've got the former chief of police now. We got him to come forward. So new witness who allegedly saw the craft in distress, the big cylindrical shape craft. So lots of new evidence. And then, of course, you've got what's happening on the American side, right? You've got all these claims of crash retrieval and aliens. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary claims. I understand that. I don't think that mainstream is quite able to process this. So I fused the two together. I took all the congressional hearings very quickly. I didn't get bogged down because I know people have had enough of that, but also talked to some people like Eric Davis, aerospace engineer, and people that were in the SCIFs listening to and meeting with the first-hand witnesses, not second-hand, first-hand. Talked about that. What was that like? Then I go and explore a number of cases over the decades. And then we say, but the best, most well-documented modern case took place in 1996. And then we go to Virginia, Brazil, and now we've got the most compelling firsthand eyewitness testimony the world has ever seen, in my humble opinion.
So with Eric Davis specifically, and a lot of people are wondering, you know, the technologies that we have access to. This has been my thing. It's like, yes, I want to see craft. I want to see proof of all of this. I want to, you know, certainly alien bodies. Everyone wants to see that. So we can all just shut up about, it's all just, it's not, you know, it's all fake. It's all fake. I want to see it. But the energy sources, you know, like we talk about gas prices. We talk about, you know, like our home heating for the winter. And we talk about travel and, you know, see all these airlines that are being shut down because the government shut down right now. It's like, but I think maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Our government has access to this incredible technology, whether it's anti-gravity technology or otherwise, enable us to travel incredible distances in a short amount of time, but we don't have access to it. They do. And I would hope that that's maybe part of this movement. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's one of the things I think we're going to learn more about in Age of Disclosure, Dan Farrow's upcoming film. He worked with Lou Elizondo. I think it's extraordinary what he's managed to get done. All the high-level military and government officials talking about exactly that, the race to understand and reverse engineer this technology. Now, I'm obviously convinced that we have it. I think we could convince any jury at this point that there's a high level of certainty that we do are in possession of it. As far as exactly from all the observations of UAP, UFOs around the world, they're clearly exhibiting a technology that's not running around on Jet A fuel. I think we can all agree on that. So if whoever can manage to harness this technology first, I mean, obviously, I hate to say this, but the military generally likes to weaponize things. So that's obviously a national security issue. But it's certainly not running around on Jet A fuel. It could replace, it could be amazing. And I think that's one of the things that they talk about in Age of Disclosure. But yeah, I'm convinced we have it. As far as how much progress we've made, I'm not sure.
Finally, on the NDA question, I mean, how do you think that we're going to see any movement from the Trump administration, members of Congress, to make a move on that, to get rid of these NDAs so we can hear fully, transparently what they're working on?
So that's as far as we can take it, right? We can provide on a silver platter to the current administration and say, here, we got all these witnesses. Here's crash retrieval witnesses. They're willing to testify to Senate, you know, with translators. But we have all these people and the aerospace engineer and all the people at DOD and DIA, and they're all getting up and saying, look, provided you wave the magic wand and provide me immunity, I will testify to a bipartisan group of lawmakers under oath tomorrow and give you the details needed to verify these claims. And that's all we can do as citizens, right? Yeah. So I think the Trump administration might just go for it. I'm optimistic.
Well, I'm optimistic. Tell me about the film. Where can people see it? And I can't wait. I'm very excited to watch your next film, Moment of Contact.
Oh, thank you so much. So it'll be Amazon Prime, and we're waiting about a month till after Age of Disclosure comes. So it'll be landing probably on or around the 20th of December. And I will be, hopefully you can have me back on again and I can share all the appropriate links.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure there's quite a few revelations you'll be revealing as the documentary unfolds. So we'd love to have you back on in December once it goes live. So very much looking forward to that. So, James Fox, great to see you. I know you're a busy man getting the final edits done, getting all this wrapped up before showtime. So thank you so much for your work on this. As always, great to see you.
Appreciate your support very much. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Thanks, James. All right, coming up on the show, from that to the tyrannical government of Canada. Looks like Canada has won. The Supreme Court of Canada has rejected the plea by the Universal Ostrich Farm to stop the killing of all of these ostriches. And now the Supreme Court's not going to hear it. The Canadian terrorist organization, the food, whatever you call it, the CFIA, I mean, to me, it's like a terrorist organization, is now coming in and moving to actively kill these ostriches. Game over. So it's a huge setback for the farmers of Canada, and for health, to be honest with you. They had herd immunity and we could actually study them and protect them. No, we're going to kill them instead. And it's a huge win for the tyrannical government of Canada. So we'll talk about that. But first, I'll tell you about our friends at Cars for Kids. I'm sure you've seen Cars for Kids.
1-877 Cars for Kids.
You know this.
K-A-R-S,
you know this jingle, Cars, right? It was born as a single brainstorm in 1994, and it was, instead of relying on like private donations and fundraising methods to support the growing charity, they decided to, you know, basically put out a steady stream and get a steady stream of income from people being able to donate their cars. And you can donate your cars today. They take care of all of the details, so you don't have to. All you need to do is schedule a pickup. If you got an old car, you don't know what to do with it, maybe I should just donate it and help children. And I've been watching this for years. I've known a lot of people that have donated their cars to Cars for Kids. You just schedule a time. They handle all the paperwork. When you go to carsforkids.org/redacted, your car donation can be picked up free within 24 hours. Your tax deduction is based on the sale price of your car. If your car sells for more than $500, your receipt will be for the sales price. Otherwise, you can claim the fair market value of the car up to $500. So we've got an old junker just kind of sitting there. You can use it. At Cars for Kids, they work hard to sell your car for the best price, which means more funds for their charity, bigger tax deduction for you. And by the way, Cars for Kids will send you a 3-day, 2-night hotel voucher when you donate your car as a way of saying thank you. So again, try it right now. Go to carsforkids.org/redacted. If you've got an old car just sitting there deteriorating and you don't know what to do with it, maybe you can help actually donate it and help out. Help out these kids who desperately need your help right now. Again, that song will haunt you for the rest of the day unless you check out carsforkids.org/redacted. It's free. It's easy. This is the song that will haunt you for the rest of your life if you don't.
1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
And I like that they have a sense of humor about it too. So they told us to have fun with it, and we were going to have fun with it anyway. So thank you so much.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Well, we're not going to have fun with this next story. It is a big win for the communist country of Canada and a terrible day for Canadian farmers. The Supreme Court of Canada has rejected an appeal by the Universal Ostrich Farm to stop the killing of its 400 ostriches by the terrorist Canadian Food Inspection Agency, which has been terrorizing them for the past couple of weeks and months. Now they've got the blessing of the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court is not going to hear this. They've rejected that appeal. And now they're on their way to start killing or continue the killing of these ostriches there in British Columbia. It's a sad day for Canada. It's a sad day for freedom. It's a sad day for farmers. And we wanted to bring in David Creighton from Ottawa, Canada, who's been closer to this story and trying to get the message out about this story than anybody. I know you spoke, David, to Katie Pasitney, who runs the Universal Ostrich Farm there. And I know you spoke to her a short time ago. What is she telling you?
Well, Katie is so close to complete exhaustion because of what she's been through. This morning, I called her before I put her on the show because I said, Katie, can you do it? Because it was literally minutes after the Supreme Court put their decision up on social media, up on the internet. They posted their decision. It was just basically 5 or 6 words coming down to dismissal, and that was it. And so Katie came on the show, and of course, she was very, very distraught. She was in tears. And she said that the CFIA, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, I know you were having a little trouble with that one, but
I don't even want to pronounce their official name.
It's kind of like the CIA with an F in it, and you can guess what the F stands for. But this is an organization that was setting up guns this morning. Katie said that they were setting up guns in the midst of this hay bin death area that they have erected there. Yeah, you can see it in the picture. These are piles of pile bales of hay that they piled around, and it's being called a death zone, death pit for the ostriches. And apparently the CFIA have set up automatic rifles or some kind of, I don't think these are machine guns, but they're, looks like the intention is to shoot the animals. We thought for quite some time that they were going to gas the animals, as they usually have done, using carbon dioxide. But I think it would be a logistical nightmare to get them off of the farm in trucks to truck them to a site where they could do this. So I think that's probably what they're doing. I'm not seeing any new footage from the farm today. They've sealed it off entirely. I don't even know if people are able to get up on that hill where that last video was shot from a very good vantage point using a zoom lens, because they have done everything to seal the area off and done everything in as clandestine operations, usually at night. But I'll tell you this, Clayton, it's interesting. What I'm hearing today is that the count of ostriches, remember we started at 399 at the beginning of this whole horrid affair, and people are saying today that they can't see more than 100 ostriches.
So they've already been killing lot of them.
This is what I have been saying for weeks. And, you know, all of my compatriots in the new media are saying, well, we can't prove it. We can't prove it. How do you know they're killing them at nights? I'm saying, well, what about the sounds they're hearing, the blending sounds, the grinding sound, the machinery they've trucked on to the site, and the fact that people are counting the ostriches from a vantage point, and they're not getting anywhere near 300. And today, they're getting near 100. So, of course, Clayton, now that the CFI has been given the go-ahead by the Supreme Court of Canada to initiate their slaughter, we're not going to know what they were doing illegally, potentially, during the last 5 weeks. If they harmed a single feather of one of these ostriches, they were violating the Supreme Court order. But how are we going to prove that now, Clayton? Because they've been given authorization to just get rid of them. They don't have to account for how many they're getting rid of. They don't have to say anything publicly. They have refused to even give a count. They have said in an update, on Halloween, they issued an update saying, we're not sure how many ostriches are there. We don't seem to be able to count. Seems like there's maybe 300, maybe 330, maybe somewhere in between. But we really can't count that well. They can't do anything very well except kill. They have no expertise in animal health, veterinary skills, agriculture, or anything. These are a bunch of the most incompetent government workers I've ever seen. And when they're confronted by people about the health of the animals, they don't know what in the hell they're talking about. So what are they up to? Second thing I've definitely can say is very, very fishy, as Natalie likes to say, does not pass the smell test. Within literally minutes of the Supreme Court announcement, the CFI had a news release out stating categorically that they were going to start the cull. And they were going to do it to preserve public health because the farm was a disease site. And I'm saying, you damn well know there was no disease on that farm. You clowns didn't put on your hazmat suits for 2 or 3 days until you realized it wasn't looking too good for public relations. You know this is not a health issue, but you've got the damned gall to put this in a news release and then put the news release out within minutes of the Supreme Court making its decision. Was there collusion between the Supreme Court and the CFIA? Good question. I think there were leaks going on from the Supreme Court to the CFIA. They knew damn well where the court was going, and that's why they were doing this independent, totally unauthorized, completely illegal killing process using their bird blenders and whatever else the hell they were doing in the last 5 weeks in the wee small hours of the morning, trucking stuff out of the farm at 2:30, 3 o'clock a.m. What was going on? They knew they were going to get away with this. I said this from day one. They knew the government was behind them. The CFIA, as you say, yeah, it certainly behaves like a terrorist organization. But this is an organization that's not only off the rail and rogue, but it's an organization that represents the fascist government of Marxist Carney. If that's a little bit of a contradiction, but in the end, I think the extreme right and extreme left come together in this government we have today, because this government we have in Canada is off the rails. It is rogue. And, you know, in your introduction, you said Canada wins. Well, I think the government of Mark Carney wins here. Canadians are not winning.
Yeah.
Farmers are not winning. They have basically been told today, your property is not safe, your livestock is not safe, your livelihood is not safe, your reputation is not safe. Katie and her family not only had to endure lawfare for a year, as all opponents of governments in this Western world have to endure if you don't agree with their narrative. They not only had to endure the harassment, the intimidation of these CFIA goons, and the constant interruption of their life, the fact they couldn't feed their animals, care for their animals, do anything to do that they always had done for this herd. But they had their reputation smeared by bots that were, I'm damn well sure, and I'm on the verge of being able to prove this, that were bought and paid for by the CFIA and Agriculture Canada. I know damn well what was going on here. They were, just as they did in a Freedom Convoy. They had people out in social media defaming this family, defaming Katie, defaming everybody associated with this, coming up with ridiculous stories, fake news, misinformation, disinformation, all the things they always accuse independent media and conservative media, small c conservative media, promulgating. They were up to this. And I tell you, you know, one of my favorite movies is 12 O'Clock High. I'm a military guy. I was an Air Force officer. And you remember in that movie at the beginning, there's a colonel who's just given it all. And he just can't give anymore. And the general says, I guess you've given all you have. You know, and I have been in daily contact with Katie since this whole thing began, not just 5 weeks ago, but beginning in April when things started to heat up with the lawfare. She has given her heart and soul into this fight. I don't know how she has been able to go day after day after day fighting this battle in the way she has, and the way she has done it with an articulate, moderate, completely well-fashioned key messages. She's done it so superbly. She's done it so well. And yet she has been under this kind of crisis management pressure that most people can only endure for most, maybe a week. She's been going through this for weeks, for months, and it's incredible that she's still holding up. And she was able to come on my show today. I'm glad she didn't have to come on this afternoon, because I have seen the footage she's put out today, and she is just in tears over what's happening. This could potentially be the loss of a family farm. They're losing every last ostrich. And it's not clear if they're going to be reimbursed by the government for these ostriches because they chose to fight it. That might well have made them exempt from that restitution. This remains to be seen. The Supreme Court announcement today said they're going to be also docked for the costs of this legal. So they're going to be on the line, I think, if I'm reading that Supreme Court order correctly, they're going to be on the line for the legal costs incurred by the government.
Philip has a question here. Go ahead, Philip.
Yeah, so I'm curious. So you said they put out a press release, and it got me wondering, like, so it sounds like they're championing this. Is there public support? Like, is this genuinely in Canada, like, everywhere news, or do a few people know about it? Like, who are they, like, wanting to cheer them on? Are people cheering them on? Are people seeing this as a good thing, and like the government narrative?
There are people, yes, largely the baby boomers, the geriatrics who voted for Mark Carney. They think this is great because they also approved of the Emergencies Act during the Freedom Convoy. Clamp down on these truckers. We don't want to hear this talk about freedom and stopping the vaccine mandates. It's the same people who are applauding this. Why? Because they were standing up to the government and saying, my land is my land. This is my private property. This is my farm. This is my 58 acres. I own it. Government, get off my land. Stop stealing my life, my livestock. Stop stealing my livelihood. But there are Canadians who agree with this today. Was the story well known? Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks to Katie. And, you know, I have to take some credit myself. I push the story every day on my broadcast. Not the whole broadcast, but I didn't miss a day for the past 60 days at least, where I didn't mention what was going on at this farm and the fact that it wasn't just about one farm. It was about property rights and human rights and individual rights for all Canadians, all homeowners, anybody who thinks they have any kind of democratic value left in this country. That's who this fight was about. Katie never missed an opportunity to talk about that. You know, and this morning I thanked all of those broadcasters in the new media, the independent media, who tried to get the truth out about this, who tried to talk about the fact that this was a gross overreach by the federal government against farmers and against ordinary Canadians. I praise the work of Redacted for doing so much to get the word out to a mass audience. Believe me, there are millions of Canadians watching this story today. I think, I would say, based on the response that I'm seeing nationwide, it's probably about 60-40 in favor of the farm. I don't think this has been a good public relations exercise for the Mark Carney government. I think it makes them look not just small and extremely short-sighted, but brutal, mean, and absolutely without any empathy or sympathy for ordinary Canadians. And again, it reinforces what the Trudeau-Carney regime has been doing for 10 years now, waging war against agriculture and farmers. They have done so much to make life difficult for farmers. It's like they just think that grocery store gets his food from a magic suppository, and it's got nothing to do with farmers growing it or producing the meat, the cattle, the sheep, the pigs, that are all part of the food chain in this country. But the Liberals don't seem to think that's important. And farmers do not feel like they're valuable, like they're appreciated. Certainly, these farmers in Edgewood, BC, at Universal Ostrich Farms, know they're not appreciated, know they have been vilified, attacked, and harassed, and assaulted by this federal government that has no conception anymore about foundational freedoms in Canada, about what it means to be a free Canadian. God damn, I hope there's a day again when I can stand up and say, I am a Canadian. A free Canadian, free to speak my own mind, as John Diefenbaker said in 1962 in the Canadian Bill of Rights. We don't have that assurance anymore in this country. As you've said so often, Clayton, Canada is cooked, not just by what happened here today, but by the fact we've got 4 surveillance and censorship laws in front of Parliament, which will pass because he's got the votes with the opposition New Democrat Socialists who will back those bills up. Which is why I say the only hope in terms of the short term is to have an election, new elections, which are possible over this budget this week. But Canada has never been in a worse situation in terms of preserving its fundamental democratic way of life, which we're vastly close to losing right now.
Yeah, I'm without words. Many people in our chat room, Bargarla says, Canada used to be such a nice country, it's gone now. And you're just watching it collapse in real time. David Creighton, thank you so much for all of your work on this. Please give our best to Katie and the family there at the Universal Ostrich Farm. And we were hoping, you know, hoping upon hope that we could change it and do what we could here. We know the United States, we know RFK Jr., we know, I mean, so many people in the Trump administration were trying to put a stop to this, but at the end of the day, Canada is going to Canada, I guess, at this point. David, thank you for this. Thank you for all your work on this, and God bless.
God bless you too, Clayton. Thank you for all the work you did on this, and I'll pass that on to Katie. Thank you so much.
All right, give her our love. Thanks. Thanks, David. Awful. Well, Charlie Edward had a question. Sorry. But yeah, there's a lot of, so many people in the chat room are like, this is so bad for prayers for Canada. And yeah, it, Runners High in the chat room in our YouTube chat room says this story goes beyond these birds. Yeah, it's not just, that's the thing. It's not just about this one farm. It's not just about these ostriches. It's about,
and it's,
yeah, go ahead, Philip.
I was going to say, it's not even about, like, because the, it's really, like, I explained the story to my daughter, and she nailed it on, or hit the nail on the head, and she said, this, it's just an, because I told you so. And that's why the government's so pissed. There's no reasoning for it. They've said that. They know that there's no H1N1 on this farm. They know right. that, like, there's no risk. And so what they're, the reason they're going through with it is because they can, and they said they would. And so there's, like, the fact that they made it illegal, they threatened to put them in jail and fine them if they brought in their own independent person to test the birds. Like, they don't care about that. It's not about that at all. And they've kind of come out and said it. It's like, well, that's just because of compliance, because they weren't complying. And so that's why they had to go through with it.
Yeah, to save face. You know, it's like Vietnam War on a different scale, but we know from, you know, hidden documents, Pentagon papers and otherwise, that it was a disaster. And it was not going that the way that they were publicly telling us it was going. But hey, we'll just throw more people to the slaughter just to save face. We'll just have more young Americans die just to save face. That's what governments do. They don't want to get dirt in their eye. They don't want to apologize. Anyway, what a week. What a week of news. Thank you guys for being here. I should mention we have a store. You guys should check it out. If you guys want to come over, by the way, our new website, totally updated, redacted.inc. I should just mention that first, I guess. Our main website is redacted.inc. And we have a link there to our store as well. But everything is on the website. Everything's there on the website. And we have a new area called Redacted Invest, which is, you know, I've been an investor for many, many years. And the government doesn't want you to know certain things about how to invest. They want your money. And we try to teach you, at least there, with that content and those links, how to do it outside of the government's reach, which is setting up a self-directed IRA, investing in real estate, how to invest in precious metals, all of those things that the government doesn't want you to do. Wall Street doesn't want you to do. Wall Street doesn't want you to set up a self-directed IRA because they won't make money off of it. That's why they don't advertise it. So we teach you how to do that. And we also teach you to empower yourself and how to protect your family. So that is on the website as well. Just click on the Redacted Invest thing there. And if, by the way, if you want to learn how to start investing in real estate, you can book a call right there with one of our team members. They'll walk you through the process. But we got so many things up there, including links to our store as well. Redacted Store is on there. I had a link right to it so you can see all of our new stuff for the fall. It's hoodie season. So grab something there if you'd like to support the show that way as well. We really appreciate it. So thank you guys so much for being here today. We really appreciate it. We'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern live as we do the show Monday through Thursday. So thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. And I should say, a friend of mine was just telling me, he said, just, I would say, you know, Redacted Invest really could become like the go-to platform for investors. Like, you know, all these other people out there, you know, Charles Schwab, like all these other places are, you know, trying to make money off of you in that way. And we're trying to teach you how to do it so you can save your money. So Wall Street doesn't get your money and they don't like us. They certainly don't want us talking about these things. And if you call Fidelity and you're asking, hey, can you do a self-directed IRA? They'll say, no, we can't do that. And they won't tell you where you can go do it. They don't want you to know all about it and how you can invest in whatever you want. Stocks, you can invest in real estate, you can invest precious metals, you can do all of it on your own because they won't make money off of it. So they're not going to advertise it to you. They don't like it at all. They certainly don't like people investing in real estate. They don't want you to do that. Anyway, check it out. Head on over there and check it out. We really appreciate it. So we'll be back here Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Hope you guys have a great weekend and we will see you next week. Have a great one, everyone.